that airs every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You can find all the episodes podcasted online at citr.ca.
Send an email to ubcaffairs@citr.ca if you'd like to get involved. No prior radio experience is necessary.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Hey, Road, calling me. Tell me what you've got today for me to see. Hey, Road, play for me. Yes, I love this motor running symphony. Oh, anybody ever heard about this feeling? Seems like we're running from the pain. You're running and running and running.
Those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men.
Welcome, everybody. This is Room Tone, the radio show that takes filmmaking's community to your ears. I'm Ruggero, your host, and today we are blessed by the company of an extremely charismatic individual. Everybody raise your hands for independent producer and owner of Death 13 Studio, Bruno Trivelli. How are you doing, Bruno?
Woo! Hey, how's it going? I'm glad to be here. Very happy, very excited. Thank you so much.
We're all very happy to have you here. Excited. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today.
Hell yeah. Can you curse on this podcast, on this radio show?
Actually, no. We got to keep it clean. We're not going to need to. We're going to dive deep into a lot of content here, a lot of beautiful things to talk about. All right. And let's start with Bruno himself. So who are you, Bruno?
Cool. Hi. My name is Bruno Trivelli. I am from Brazil. I moved to Vancouver to pursue filmmaking. And here I am making films. Basically, just from film school, came here straight out of high school and making movies, and just decided to open up my production company, Death 13, where we make movies and we make commercials and music videos.
Beautiful. So already the name Death 13 tells a lot. Just a very forward-thinking company, really forward-thinking individual right here. Bruno is actually involved, deeply involved in the community here in Vancouver. And there is a lot that makes him who he is right now. Definitely, I want to touch the content that you've been creating and shaping lately. What have you been up to lately?
Absolutely. So lately, I've been working on a couple of projects. I have one called Alcane that's just been wrapped. It's about 35 minutes long. It's almost a feature film, and it's basically just about relationships and the weirdness of it all. And it's just this crazy esoteric film.
Awesome. So let's moonwalk back a little bit. I want to ask you, why movies in the first place?
Why movies in the first place? I don't know. Ever since I was a kid, I watched Jurassic Park with my dad, and I was like, I want to be the guy that made that movie. And he's like, are you sure? You sure you don't want to be like anything else that's like makes a better living? And I'm like, nope, I want to make Jurassic Park. And here I am, not making Jurassic Park, but still making things that are completely different. So yeah, ever since I was a kid, wanted to make movies. I shifted away from that for like a few seconds, and then I was like, no, never mind, I still want to do that.
That's awesome. So, that's the calling right there for you. That's the calling. Now, let me ask you something about your artistic background.
Absolutely.
You know, coming from Brazil, what age did you come here to Vancouver?
So I came here to Vancouver when I was 18. I'm now 21. I came here specifically to do film school. My parents helped me out so much, and they were able to push me in my endeavors and be like, no, you should just do it. And I just did it. So I came here at the age of 18. My parents helped me out. I did a couple of projects, did some film school, and then I moved all the way here, and yeah, just keep going at it.
Yeah, making it happen. So Absolutely. You were talking about Alkane.
Yes.
I want to hear more about that.
All right, so let's talk about Alkane. Alkane was this project that I made after making so many projects in film school. I just wanted to make something completely different. And I made something completely guerrilla where I didn't get, which is kind of bad, but like I didn't get any permits for any of the things that we shot. I got it all guerrilla. We just went out and shot it, and we did this whole movie with about five people, and I basically saved my own money from working on other jobs and basically saved my own money to pay my crew and to pay my friends to make this movie with me. So me and four other amazing people came together and we just make a freaking movie, and that was incredible. And after doing that, I realized that you can do really anything. Mm-hmm. And just doing that with such a small crew was able for me to fully understand that it's like you can just do it. Yeah, as long you have so many resources in the 21st century to just do it, and you shouldn't be stopping yourself, and you should just go ahead and do it. And so what if it doesn't work out? If it's not that great, do another one. It's Absolutely. Probably going to be better.
Absolutely, yeah. Great vibes right there from Bruno. Now, so much is accessible right now in the 21st century. You just said it. Where do you see it going in the next 5 years, and where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Just making more movies. I mean, I can't stop making movies, and I have already like more projects coming, and I feel like you discern here in Vancouver. You have two separate kinds of philosophy when it comes to movie making. You can be doing the union shows and the big shows and stuff like that in the film industry, or you can become your own artist and kind of scrape by and barely survive off of it. But you have so much more fulfilling out of it. It's totally different from being an artist and being in the film.
Sure, working film behind world. The movie yeah. is different than making.
Than
movie.
Making
That's
movies,
what you're
100%.
Yeah.
And I have so many friends that went into the making movies route. Instead of going to the union route where you're just behind the movies and you're just seeing it all happen. It's great. Both ways work great. But for me, I really wanted to make movies. So that's what I'm doing. And from 5 years from now, I'm going to be making more movies.
That's
and
awesome.
I might not be able to survive off of that, but I'll keep making it.
Stay positive. Everything comes at the right time. And that's where Death 13 came to life. And why the name Death 13, the name of your production company?
So,
why the name?
So Death 13 is the tarot card Death. And it's the most misunderstood card in the tarot cards. It's also a card from Scorpio, which is I am a Scorpio. I don't really go into much detail about it, but basically the whole aspect of it is that death is the death card is always misunderstood, thinking that it's this awful bad thing. But it's really just change. It's really just change and evolvement and becoming this metamorphosis and becoming something else and evolving and creating different things. So Death 13 is just like me. Always evolving, always changing, and that's the idea behind it, is to just make more movies and to make more things differently and just create art.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Death underpins the transition and transformation. That is a wonderful name that you got right there
Absolutely.
For yourself. As soon as I opened that website, by the way, really cool website. The moment I opened that website up, yeah. I was like, damn,
yeah,
this guy got it. Death13.com. Yeah. And by the way, also in brain, you got the XIII,
which is very... So Death13.com is DeathXIII.com. It's in Greek numerals. And yeah, it just looks cooler.
yeah, it does. Very cool, man. Very cool. Nice. And now you're on other projects as well.
Yeah.
You're working on something new. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your flow as a filmmaker now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I basically, my flow, and I think everyone should do this, is have a second job, make money, survive in Vancouver. It's so expensive to live here. Survive in Vancouver, then just save your money slowly. And then when you have enough money, make a movie with your friends. Pay your fucking friends. Like, please do. Pay your friends. Pay the people that you're trying. At least feed them. And just be able to like give them something for their time that they're giving to you. So that's how I'm doing it. And I've been saving money since Alkane. I have more money. Now I can make another movie. And I'll be making another movie. Once that's done, I'll step back, work, save more money, make another movie. So that's the flow.
Do you notice some sort of main theme that you tackle in your movies? Is there always some sort of gravitational core?
Yeah, they always come from my own personal ideas. I kind of come up with my movies as I'm passing through life, and I see how weird sometimes life can be. And I just try to push it a notch higher, and I try to see how weird this can really be. Alkane is a movie about this relationship and about this guy that's kind of scared of the relationship and not knowing where it's going to go. And then he starts to think that his girlfriend may or may not be a witch. and it becomes this kind of weird journey of his to trying to figure out if his girlfriend is a witch or not, or what is going on through her head. So it's really about creating an enigma of something that's regular and something that's normal. So most of my movies are like that.
Yeah, the true artist is the one who makes of a solution an enigma right there.
Sure.
So you chose the right word.
Yeah.
Definitely definitely something that flips the cake.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
well, I would love to know,
we throw the cake on the ground and break it.
How can people watch it? Is there going to be a way people can watch
yeah,
this?
Yeah, so Alkane is on festival run right now, but I will be posting it on the website. Again, def13.com. I already have some of my other projects at def13.com. That's defxiii.com. Just check it out. I have a bunch of stuff. I'll for sure be updating it on my Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that so people can see it. But yeah, I am in favor of just showing my movies, just putting my movies out there. I don't like the idea of just making a movie and just keeping to yourself, or just trying to do all these festival run things that take forever, and then you're just like, oh, I don't like this movie anymore. I'm not going to, like, have some decency, show it to the world, like, just put it out there. So I will be putting Alkane out there. It will be a 35-minute long movie, and it would be long. But yeah, it will be all free for people to watch on my website.
Wonderful. Sharing is caring right there from Bruno.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, lots on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Not only for you, but for all the filmmakers out there, everybody who's listening, everybody who is involved in the community here in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
But not only Vancouver, BC in general, Canada especially. Canada is growing.
Canada is growing so much, man.
Where do you see Canada worldwide?
Oh, man. It's at this weird point where America has this baby man in power, and everything is just kind of, I feel like everything's just crumbling, and I'm so lucky to be in Canada right now where there's actually like some future to be seen. I was very lucky because when I was choosing where to go, I just knew that Brazil wasn't where I wanted to be to make my movies, and I just knew it had to be somewhere in North America, and I was between LA and Vancouver, and I'm so glad I chose Vancouver. And if anyone is thinking about making movies, stay in Vancouver, man. It's like the stock market. You can easily see, like, you're putting a lot of money onto something that will easily take you somewhere, and Vancouver has a lot of potential right now. There's so many awesome filmmakers about to blow up in Vancouver, and there's so many people with so much power to do so, and they just need to do it. And I feel like DAF 13 and I am just trying to make that happen. We're just trying to push it because there's so many amazing things to happen here in Vancouver. It's a beautiful city, and there's amazing people.
Vancouver is growing, and if you want to grow, this is your place.
An independent filmmaker. Please, become an independent filmmaker.
What about the aspect of independence? What about the aspect of independence in the realms of filmmaking? How do you feel about that? Where do you see
it going? It's scary. People feel like it's scary, but the less is makes you better. Like, you can make so many amazing films with very low budget nowadays. You can shoot with your phone. Go out there, shoot with your phone. Please make movies. Like, so many people get tied down on the idea of like having a job or working in the film industry and thinking that that's enough. You gotta get out there. You gotta have time for yourself to be able to be your own boss and become your own filmmaker. And it's all about doing, man. It's you can't question yourself. You gotta do it. It's gonna be it's gonna be bad at the first few times, but you gotta just keep striving for it and just keep moving to make better. Every single project that I made has become better than the predecessor. So, like, always make something new, and the next thing will always be better. Trust me, it will. You'll learn so much from it. As long as you keep an open mind, you're going to learn so much from your projects.
Having the ability to follow your flow is something very special, you know? Give me a high five
right
there,
dude.
Man. Amazing, man. You know, like, these are great words. These are beautiful words, and people need to hear this, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
I need to hear this. Everybody needs to hear this, you know? It's something that definitely keeps the chain going.
Oh, yeah.
And we can't...
You gotta be positive.
Yeah,
you gotta
be absolutely.
You gotta
no positivity, no flow. I mean, that's the you know, the attitude is the paintbrush of your life, you know?
Yeah.
And without that, you can't paint at all.
No.
The beautiful thing about this whole community, mm-hmm. I noticed personally that... there is this constant flow of support, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like,
people love to support each other, and we have to celebrate that.
Especially in Vancouver, and that's amazing. You can't find anywhere else a place where so many other creatives love your shit, and they just want to do it with you, and they're just like, oh, man, I love what you're doing. Let's do more. Let's do together. Let's work together. And that's awesome, and that's something that you can't find in other places, but in Vancouver especially, I feel like everyone's just... so in love with each other's projects.
Yeah,
and I think that's amazing.
Look at it even on a bigger scale. Look at what's happening with Save the Rio.
Yeah. Well, so for those who don't know, my second job is working at the Rio Theater, where I work as half-time as a programmer. I also do some, I'm basically a supervisor programmer, and I do tech for the live shows there from time to time. And it's a great second job, and I don't want it to go away. And it's this beautiful community. At this point, I chose the Rio to be there, and it's taken me, and I'm just so submerged in the Rio because it's this beautiful atmosphere that I feel like I never had a day of work in my life. Every single day that I go to the Rio, I'm happy and I'm having a good time. I'm hanging out with my friends and I'm getting money off of it. And I'm just helping the community be better. The Rio has some of the most independently amazing films going there, and there's so many loves from the community recently to help us keep growing, and it's beautiful. And we had this shock when people tried to buy the place to turn it into a condo, and we were like, no, we got to do something about it. So Corrine, my boss, decided to raise the community and raise funds with investors to try to buy the place, and we've been doing it for a pretty long time. It's been almost 3 months now, and that's insane. And we have now until July 31st. That's our deadline. And we have until then to get funds to be able to save the place. And so far, we've reached over $3 million, and that's amazing. And we still need like 800 or so left, but 800,000 or so left to go. But I think we can do it. And we have so many supporters. We have Seth Rogen. We have Ryan Reynolds. We have people from Freaks and Geeks and so many.
What a wonderful unification, people. You know, everybody coming together to keep the arts alive. Because in the end, Absolutely. That's what the Rio is such a beautiful, it's a symbol, you know.
It is. Where else can you drink and watch a movie in Vancouver and have this vibe? The Rio was actually the first place in Vancouver who was able to turn the liquor law around and be able for you to have a drink watching a movie. We did that. And Corrine was the one that did it. And then all the other venues that aren't independent went along with it, but the Rio is the truly independent one that just stepped up and was like, no.
Yeah, Rio is definitely a resounding name in the community of filmmakers, and it's so it's such a vibrant experience to go there and watch movies, especially those stingy movies in there. You know, you'll hear some comments here and there. There is a beautiful collective experience happening at the Rio.
Oh yeah,
but you know what? We're gonna talk more about the Rio and Save the Rio and the whole aspect of energy and flowing community that keeps it alive right after the break. I'm gonna ask you the favor to launch this one here.
All right.
Of course, we had to choose the song from the soundtrack from City of God, so now
and I can pronounce it better.
Yeah, go for it, Bruno. Go
so
for it.
So here we go. This is City of God. This is from Seu Jorge, Convite para a Sua Vida.
É isso aí, rapaziada. Esse é o bonde da CDD. Alô, Cidade de Deus. Se liga. Presta atenção. Vamos que vamos. Deixa comigo. Sou morador da favela. Também sou filho de Deus. Não sou de choro, amazelas, mas meu amor perdeu. Sou operário da vida que Deus me deu. Mas se eu chego atrasado, meu alguém já Esse é o bonde da CDD. Presta atenção. Homem bom de brincadeira não. Filho chora, mas não vê. Atividade no serviço. Olha o processo. Olha o processo. Se liga. Segura que é badete. Se não aguentar, solta o calisco. Peixe grande. É isso aí, rapaziada. E Oxalá proteja o caminho de todo mundo. Vai com Deus.
Welcome back, everybody. This Woo. Is Room Tone, the radio show. We talk movies because we love it over here. I'm joined by the extremely charismatic Bruno Trivelli.
Hell yeah. Woo. In the first half, I just said a bunch of swear words that I totally told you that I wouldn't. So I apologize for that. That's my second language coming in and me just trying to think of words to say while I'm processing the words. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'll say a swear word or two, but I'll try my best not to now.
Portuguese is an extremely fascinating language. You
oh,
know?
Absolutely.
There is a saying that
it's
goes...
very hard.
Yeah, it's not easy to language. Pronounce that, but there is a saying that goes, if you truly want to meet the sweetness of life, yep. you have to learn either Italian or Portuguese.
Absolutely, so. and we both have both that those things going on.
I had to splash that quote in there somehow, yeah.
Good.
But, yeah, so now we were talking about Save the Rio.
Oh, yeah. So going back to it, Save the Rio... Please save my job. Save the Rio. Come on, do it. We're still taking donations. We're still taking donations until July 31st. We have the we also have a front funder, which is basically where people can invest and become part of the Rio and become investors of the Rio for a minimum of $1,000. But you can also donate like a dollar or two when you're at the Rio buying some popcorn. Just talk to one of our cashiers and we'll get your donation. But yeah, it's been insane. Like the community has been helping so much, and I've been hearing stories from people every day. Like I see over 400 people every day at my work, and I just talk and they're all telling me all these great things about the Rio and how amazing it is and how supportive it's been for them and how it changed their lives. So I just don't want that place to go.
I think many people don't want that place to go.
No.
And it's gonna show. And I'm actually gonna
it's
put
a historical
the,
thing.
It is. It is indeed. Yeah. It's culture. Yeah. Culture is the tissue of society. You know,
oh,
we
yeah.
need it. We need it. But I'm gonna put the link. In
Absolutely.
The description of the
for
podcast.
The same, yeah, yeah.
As well, in addition to the link of Death 13.
Yeah, Death 13.
So that people can get a sense
and
of
my Instagram
your
too,
color.
Please.
Yeah, I'll splash that in there for sure. You can get to meet Bruno a little better over there as well.
Yeah.
But actually want to make a little whoop, a little
All
change,
right.
a little shift in the conversation.
Right,
because,
let's whoop it.
I know that you yourself mm-hmm. also have a very, very strong mathematical mind. You know, you have a very strong
My
creative
dad
mind,
has a very strong mathematical
but
mind.
There you go. That's where it channels down
I
to.
I just kind of, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very curious to hear about your experience and your journey after film school.
So, yeah, and that was the crazy part because I came here to do film and I came here for Canada because I love Canada and I want to be in Canada. So after film school, I knew that my days in Canada were almost doomed and I was like, okay, I'm probably going to have to go back to Brazil. But then I got this pathway from my film school to another college, BCIT, and to do a business management course. And I thought, and at that point in my life, I was very reluctant on it because I just wanted to make movies. I was like, no, none of the business stuff. I just want to make movies. I just don't want to deal with any of it. I just don't want to deal with the paperwork. I don't want to deal with the money, but it's absolutely crucial. So I took the course. I was like, okay, sure, I'll do it to stay in Canada. But I ended up loving it so much, and it opened my eyes so much into what to do. And Death 13 is a part of it. It became that what it is because of it. I didn't want to make a production company before. Before this, I did film school and I was like, I have to make a production company to be an independent filmmaker. So don't be afraid of math. Don't be afraid of the business side of things. Life is business. You need to have that parallel with your life. You can't be just a full-on creative. You need to have some form of outcome and like money stream coming
of course
in.
There is a flow on both
yeah.
sides, creative flow
oh, yeah.
but also financial
so
flow.
Now
is there something you are afraid of when it comes to the world of filmmaking on a bigger scale?
No, just not being just as long as I'm myself and as long as I'm true to myself and true to my style, I'm not I don't have a fear of anything. I don't mind. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing and keep being myself. And if I have to change, then accept the change. I don't want to be fixated on this thing. I want to be able to be free.
Accepting the change, another keyword right there. It's true. Because, you know, pain doesn't come from the change itself. It comes from the resistance to the
100%.
Change. Oh, 100%. That's a wonderful combination of keywords right there.
Oh, yeah. And change is this great thing that comes and goes, and Death 13 is change. And that's exactly why I moto all of this to change, because it is like that. You need to be able to change. You need to be able to adapt. I made so many short films, and then I felt like I needed a long format film. And now that I'm done with that, I learned the mistakes and I learned I learned whatever from it. And now I'm like, okay, now I have to make smaller stuff, because that took me a whole year to make this 35 minute film. How many films can I reach in 1 year that are shorter? So now I'm doing much smaller projects. They're 5 minutes long, 10 minutes long. And that shows. And that's just changing and being adapted. And
that's very interesting, because usually it's the opposite. I hear so many people going, "Oh, I've done so many short films, but I want to go bigger."
Yeah, I want to go smaller.
But in your case, you did bigger. You did a cane.
Yeah.
But now you're trying to measure.
Yeah.
You know, to
yeah.
measure your
it
content.
It just sounds like a better plan for me to go small and be able to make so many other projects that I can put on my resume and just get better at. Because I saw my problems in Alkane, and if I do other projects, I will see my problems in them. But if I attack those problems and move forward with them and make more films, it's just growing more as a filmmaker. And you got to make a bunch of films to grow and become a decent filmmaker. I can say that I'm fairly decent now, but there's so much to learn still, and I'll be learning until the day I die. Mm-hmm. Making movies that will I will always learn from it. Mm-hmm. It's always a learning experience.
I feel there is a huge awareness when it comes to measuring your art, your own content.
Oh yeah, huge.
You know, sometimes I feel like there is a huge lack of measure when we try to project our own projects.
So many, yeah, so many people want to make huge, crazy things. I want to make huge, crazy things. Do we have the money to make huge, crazy things? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. We need to accept the situation that we're in. We need to accept the fact that Vancouver is extremely expensive to live in, and it's even more expensive to save money to be able to make your own movies. And you won't. You can make as many gigantic scripts as you want, but you need to be making your own projects that are small and simple, and you can just regurgitate your creativity out. Even if you don't like it that much, I'm sure that you will learn something from it. And if you're truly a filmmaker, you shouldn't not enjoy making small movies. You should be making your small movies, your simple movies, so you can reach a point where you can make your bigger movies. So yeah, absolutely. Know your measurement. Know how far you can go with your projects. And sometimes push it a little bit, but don't push it too far, because then it's not going to get off the ground. You're not going to bring anything new.
There is always a balance, right?
Oh, yeah.
There is always a balance in every aspect of the art, of the craft. Now, where do you feel where do you feel your inclination keeps itself alive? Where do you feel the most alive in this, even on the set itself?
Okay.
You know?
Well, I definitely at this point I've done so many I've worn so many hats that I'm happy with doing whatever. And Death 13 is where I direct and write most of my projects. But yeah, with Alkane, I was the director, I was the producer, I was the assistant director, I was the camera assistant at some points, I was the writer, I was the script supervisor. I did like so many things that I'm now comfortable doing so much, and I want to do more. So I don't, especially being independent, I'd say, don't try to get all your friends in a project doing small things. Mm-hmm. Get a couple of friends and have everyone doing a bunch of things. Because that everyone is just so connected, and everyone's just so into the project because they have so much at stake. And please pay them while they're doing this. Mm-hmm. And they're all, and trust me, everyone's going to come out of it in a better, from a great experience. And they're going to come out seeing themselves as better people.
Seems like quality is better than quantity over here, and 100%. That's something that really 100%. Resonates with what I believe too. And this philosophy of filmmaking is something I feel that is growing a lot.
Oh yeah, doing your own stuff, being small. Yeah.
Yes, and everything happens because of necessity, you know.
Yeah.
Everything we do, everything we feel, it comes out of a necessity to either do something or create or give shape.
Yeah.
Right? Did you experience a moment in your own life? This is a little bit of a broader stroke.
Okay.
But in which you felt a necessity to make a change, to make a transition in your lifetime.
100%.
Something that truly changed your life.
Business school. I needed to make that change, or else I would have been stagnant and I would end up becoming, I don't know, a PA for like Supergirl and just staying at that forever and just hating myself because I wouldn't be doing more films. I've been talking a lot about this recently with some friends. Weirdly enough, I was talking about this yesterday with a friend of mine, and it's true. Like you do, if you want to be a filmmaker, if you have this urge to create, you can't be relaxed. You can't be in a position of comfort. You need to go out there and be challenged. You need to have this growth, because it's just like the hero's journey. You need to have the challenge. You need to fail so you can go up again and you can be better as a person. So you absolutely need to challenge yourself, and you need to not be in this comfort 9 to 5 job, or like 15-hour days on set for 5 days a week, and then on your weekends you can't even like get up to make a movie because you've been doing movies all your whole week, but it doesn't feel like it because you're just PAing, or you're just camera operator, or you're just being a camera operator.
I feel so what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. There is definitely another interesting thing that you talked about in there, in the midst of all that, that you said something very interesting about the acceptance of failure, or acceptance of your own choices.
Yeah,
right?
make mistakes. Please make mistakes.
Don't
be afraid of
the
it.
The fear, there is of course a fear of success sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Fear of failure, but also fear of success, which is something interesting to look into, and fear of dreams sometimes.
Yeah.
People have fear of their own dreams, and they don't take on the path that they maybe
see it too
they
big,
could be going
but
on,
they can
right?
just do it. Yeah. You need to be like, finding a happy medium in life is just the most important thing to be able to reach. As long as you have a happy medium where you can see things, that's perfect. But being and doing that in terms of your success and your dreams, you have this huge dream, but you can't reach that huge dream. So tone it down, bring it down, and slowly make your way up to that dream. And don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of making mistakes, because you'll make so many mistakes down the road. I've made so many mistakes in my past films and in my past years making films and all of that, and I learned from every single one of them, and the next time that I did something, I fixed that mistake and I did it, and it felt better, and I learned and I evolved as a person. So that's absolutely crucial.
Yeah, it's like a castle of cards, slowly putting all those cards together. Very delicate. Yeah. Very delicate.
Don't
process.
Be afraid, and please go out and make movies.
At the same time, Bruno, it's great to hear that there is such a such control, right? Such measure, also in measuring the dream and measuring your own resources.
Yeah.
In comparison to 100%. The content that you create. Where do you see your content fit in today's world? You know, where do you feel your voice can?
I see it. I see so many people in the 21st century wanting to be independent, wanting to be their own boss. I see there's so many millennials and like people growing up, like becoming adults now, that can't work for people, and they need to be their own bosses. And I feel like more than anything, what I do and what I create, all those things have meanings. But at the end of the day, what my experiences are it's just a way to show to people, and why I'm doing this is just to show to people that you can be your own boss, and you can become your own, like your own person, just by doing it. And there's so much technology, and there's so many things out there for you to use to become your own boss. I mean, I have so many friends that buy so many like a lot of gear to be able to film for themselves and be their own like commercial artists or whatever, and that's awesome. But you can also do so much with so little. I see so many people saving so much money for gear in films, when in reality you don't need that much gear. You can do everything with a DSLR and a tripod. You can do so much with that. And who cares if the lighting is not perfect, or it's not this or that? You will be moving forward. And as long as it looks aesthetic to you and people like it and whoever you're doing it for likes it, you're having a good time.
We have a great supporter of independent filmmakers here. And indeed, as an independent filmmaker, there is definitely a lot of colors, and the color wheel is explored in all its range.
Yeah.
When you go on set, or when you have to produce, direct, write, first AD your own movie, put it all together. What was the biggest challenge for you in shooting El Cain and shooting a feature-length movie, you know, in such a, you know, with such a restricted team, but at the same time such strong quality, high quality characters helping you in the process.
I think the strongest, the hardest part was finding locations and finding, being able to find a way to communicate what I'm thinking to other people, and that's hard. That's my DOP for that, and hopefully for many other things. I really like working with him, Steven Atkinson. He's a phenomenal DOP that owns his own equipment. So if anyone needs a good DOP, check out Steven Atkinson. He's amazing, and we have a good communication where I can be blunt to him and say, this is what I like, and he can be like, well, I don't like that style, but I get it, and I think it's going to work out, so we'll do it. So it's really being able to communicate all of it and find the exact positions to where you want to make your movie. So I really go through locations just by, when I'm figuring out my movie, I'm figuring out exactly where I'm going to shoot. And in Alcane, there's one specific scene in a campfire that I had no idea where I was going to shoot. Vancouver is extremely restrictive about making campfires and about making making any sort of fire in any sort of area. And I wanted to make a forest, like have it inside a forest kind of atmosphere. And that was almost impossible for me to find until I contacted my friend Hira Vin, and she contacted a friend of hers. And she was like, "Oh yeah, we know this campground that we've been going on for years, and it's pretty illegal. But I mean, no one. It's this very nice atmosphere area where everyone is okay with it, and it's controlled, and we can make it look good and make it work. So we made it. We found it. I'm not gonna talk much into it because I don't want to spill the beans. So I'm not gonna say where it was. I don't want anyone to go there." But yeah, we did it. We went there, we shot it, and it turned out amazing. So thank you so much for my friends for helping me find that. And that's a big thing too, having connections and having friends that you've done something for and they can do something for you in return. And I'm so thankful to have so many amazing friends in the film industry that respect my work and I respect theirs, and I want to help them improve as much as they want me to improve.
And that's at the core of community right there. Yeah. You know, that's basically the most beautiful definition of community, you know?
Yeah.
We have to celebrate that here in Vancouver. 100%. Sometimes it feels like we are surrounded by all those amazing events like Celluloid Social Club or Rain Dance or so many more, and the film festivals keep going. But it's important to keep that flow going, getting into those events, looking at the eyes of the people.
Absolutely.
You know, the name in the end, it just disappears, but the eyes they stay there, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so important to go and you know, I encourage everybody to go out there, meet, because on your side is probably your best ally in this industry, you know?
Absolutely.
People sometimes tend to compete with each other, you know, like in the industry or stuff like that. But here, especially like in Vancouver, man, it's so small. This is the family.
Small. Yeah, yeah.
This you is need, the family.
You cannot have rivals. You need to have an open mind, and you need to love everyone's work in a sense. You might not agree with it. You might see flaws, and you can tell them the flaws or keep it to yourself. But you need to not see it as everyone's trying to succeed, and you should help them out as much as you can and still be selfish enough to be able to succeed yourself. So I think it's really important to be your own artist and to love your community and give to your community so the community can give back. And there's nothing like the film industry has so much need of people. You never know when you're going to need a connection that you made 15 years ago and keep that connection. So that's why I use Facebook so much, just to have my friends and have people that I remember so I can talk to, and whenever I need something, it's super important.
How do you feel about social media now?
I don't know. I think it's super important, especially for the networking side of it. I think it's so hard to keep a social media thing going. I've been using Instagram more and more now, and I feel like Facebook is dying down. Even Twitter is its own thing, but Instagram is rising a lot. So I can see I see so many filmmakers and creative people making their own stuff in Instagram and just posting it for free and having so many people coming back. And you can even make money off of Instagram. So I definitely say, like, make an Instagram account, start posting some pictures, start posting some videos. Like, I think Instagram is the way of the future at the moment.
And the introduction of the vertical layout for videos, how do you feel about
that? That's wild. I think that's as insane as it's like 16:9 and 4:3. Those are like amazing ratios, and we're seeing this change. And I love movies that are shot vertically. I've seen so many awesome experimental films that are shot vertically, and they are insane and mind blowing. And I want to make more stuff like that. I want to be able to shape it. And it's really, at the end of the day, it's you trying to make the story that you have make sense. And if it makes sense to be a vertical movie, make a vertical movie. If it makes sense to be 4x3, Al Kane is entirely 4x3 because it made sense for me to be 4x3.
And how about that? I'm very curious to hear about that, actually, mm-hmm. because the role of format when it comes to
super,
you know,
important.
It's
super
crucial.
Important.
Yeah. I'm wondering what pushed you into that direction.
The 4x3?
Yeah.
I think 4x3 is very aesthetic. It's the Academy's format, and it's a beautiful format. I think it's wonderful, but more than that, it says so much of encapsulating moments and being able to trap your characters in awkward situations. And my movie, Al Kane, was all about this awkward situation where the character was trapped in and he was trying to figure it out. And also, half of the movie is shot in a camcorder, so the camcorder is 4x3 by nature, so I just wanted to keep the flow and not cut between a 4x3 to 16x9. Keep it on one dimension to flow.
Wonderful. Yeah, that sounds great. I'm really excited. Very curious to see what Death 13 is all about.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. we're gonna get a little pitch from Bruno right after the break.
Absolutely.
A little 1 minute pitch talking about Death 13. Bruno, you wanna have the chance to?
I don't know which one this is.
We have here. Can you read it?
Oh, yeah, I can read it. All right, so this is from Kartala, TV Singh. TV.
Go for it, go for it.
TV Singh, outro grande amor antes do teu. TV Singh, o que ela sonhava eram os meus sonhos e assim. Íamos vivendo em paz. Nosso lar, em nosso lar sempre houve alegria. Eu vivia tão contente, como contente ao teu lado estou. Tive sim, mas comparar com teu amor seria o fim. E vou calar, pois não pretendo amor de magoar. Tive sim, outro grande amor antes do teu. Tive sim, o que ela sonhava eram os meus sonhos. E assim, íamos vivendo em paz. Nosso lar, em nosso lar sempre houve alegria. Eu vivia tão contente, como contente ao teu lado estou. Te disse, mas comparar com teu amor seria o fim. E eu vou calar, pois não pretendo amor de magoa. Ai, ai, pois não pretendo amor de magoar. Ai, 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 ai. Pois não pretendo amor de magoar. Ai, ai.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Room Tone. We talk movies because we love it. Today, here, we have Bruno Trivelli.
Hey there.
All right. Now it's time to get into the 1 minute pitch.
All right.
Are you ready?
Oh yeah.
You ready to make it happen?
Oh yeah. Throw it at me.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna get this clock going right now. You ready for that, Cheese?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Cool. Hey. So yeah, if you liked anything that I talked about in this whole hour, so make sure to check me out at def13.com. It's defxiii.com. It's in Greek numerals. It's not only my production company and my studio, it's also like my business. So I not only make my own art there and just share it and have all my creative outflows coming through there, it's also where I can make projects and collaborate with other people. So if you have if you're an artist, a musician, and you have a music video that you want to make, hit me up. If you are if you work in a company and you need a commercial, an ad, hit me up. If you need anything video production wise, contact me at def13.com. That's defxiii.com. It's a perfect, we can definitely figure something out. I'm more than happy to collaborate with all of y'all. And yeah, hit me up. Thank you.
Awesome. There you go. And that's 1 minute right there. And Bruno, after the 1 minute pitch, we get straight into the Proust questionnaire. Ooh. So what happened, Proust wrote down 35 questions. He believed that we will be able to identify someone's true identity.
Get nice and personal.
Yeah. here we go. We're going to pick five questions out of those 35 randomly. Sweet. And because we talked about fear a little bit earlier, I actually want to ask you, what is your greatest fear?
I think I said that before, but yeah, not being true to myself. As long as I can be true to myself and who I am as a person, I'm happy. And that's as long as I can keep being my own person and create and make stuff. I never feel bad about making mistakes. I think those improve you as a person. But as long as I keep my core persona and my character as it is, and change it and be accepting of the change, I'm happy with it.
And how do you manage to stay true to yourself?
Just really, I was talking to my girlfriend about that yesterday, but really just being aware of myself and being aware of how I make other people feel and how other people feel about me. I think being aware of that is super important. Being aware of your own self and being aware as much as you can is extremely important. Mm-hmm. So yeah, seeing your surroundings.
There is a concept that just appeared in my mind, and it goes back to aligning the three cores, mm-hmm, of your being, right?
Yeah.
And what you say, what you think, and what you feel, they should all be aligned.
Oh yeah.
And that is I think it's a wonderful, wonderful little combination of concepts and words.
Yeah.
That really resonates with that thought.
Absolutely.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I think it's time to get to the second question of the Proust questionnaire. And the second question is, what is your most marked characteristic?
I'm loud. I'm very loud. Awesome. Yeah, if you go to the Rio anytime and you're watching a movie and you just hear someone laughing, like laughing hysterically or being extremely loud and obnoxious behind the bar, it's me. It's absolutely me. And you're probably going to hear the doorman, Glenn, tell me to shut up, because I'm very loud, and that's definitely a big part about me. Mm-hmm. But I'm very communicative. I really like talking to people. I really like being up close and personal with people and just cutting all the BS and just being like, hey, let's talk. What's the problem? Let's figure this out together. And that's the way you have to deal with life. And I think that's a huge important thing to be as a director and as a creative, to be able to express yourself.
Yeah, expression is key, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find other spaces in the artistic world to express yourself? Or filmmaking is the main one?
No. I wish I could do music. I'm so bad at anything audio related. But I wish I could do music. I mean, at the Rio, I do tech and I do the lighting for all the burlesque shows and things like that. And that's super fun. And that's already a creative thing that pushes me off. Cooking is another huge thing that pushes me. And it's creative and it's amazing. Writing. I mean, anything creative, I just want to tackle it. And I just want to play with it. Fashion, I mean, whatever, like, I just want to play with art. And art, there's so much room for you to be creative and speak your what you're thinking and what you're feeling, and I think that's the core of it.
What music instrument would you play?
Ooh, the tambourine.
Hey, I'm for the tambourine. Yeah. Give me that. All right. Man, tambourine.
The funniest sounding one.
Yeah, that's a nice one right there. Awesome. Well, get one. Try.
All right, yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah. Frick it. I'll do it.
Yeah, of course. Why not, man? There is a give me a reason not to do it. There is not another one. So, yeah. Wonderful. Third question of the Proust questionnaire. What do you most value in your friends?
Communication. Friendship is a stupid one. Communication, happiness, not letting people down, and being aware of how you affect other people. If you're aware that you're being like someone that's not helpful or someone that's being mean or whatever, if you're aware of that and you can change that, I already respect you so much. But I can be friends with people so easily. I just really like anyone. Like, I don't have a grudge with anyone really that I know, and I just love people. And I think it's so easy for me to say, oh, you can be my friend, because I just really like people and I really like communicating and I really like the interpersonal relationships. I'm a person-to-person guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've heard the word respect a lot in there. You know, I can really feel respect. Where do you think respect, finds its place when it comes to relationships?
It's weird, because for me, I feel like I first of all have 100% respect for a person, and I can go down and up, but I start off with anyone that I meet with 100% respect. And I think that's crucial to be to care about someone, is to have respect. And I just have if I meet you, I'm gonna respect you in some way. You can find a million negative ways to think of a person, but I think that's a toxic way to be. And I think I much rather see a million ways to think positively of a person.
Of course, already the fact that we are humans, definitely that shows some respect. The fact that we chose to live, you know, it's more risky to live than not to live. You know
100%.
What I mean? Like, it's definitely an interesting aspect of life right there. But
100%.
You never know how far someone has gone because you don't know where they started.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's something that I feel we should always keep in mind.
Oh,
always,
yeah.
At all times. But yeah. Time to get to the fourth question of the Proust questionnaire.
Woo!
It's a little bit different. We're shifting. Right. We're drifting right here. We're drifting.
Oh.
How would you like to die?
As long as I don't die before my time, I'm happy. I'm happy to die in my bed or eaten by a jaguar. That'd be very cool.
Okay.
But if I'm like, I gotta be past, let's say, let's put a point here, like from 70 and up, I'm happy to die any sort of funny way that we can figure it out. I don't know, you can throw like an LP, a vinyl disc on my face and it cuts my face. That'd be cool.
Bruno.
Like super fast. Like,
I didn't see that coming.
I'm just looking at things around me and I see a bunch of vinyls.
Yeah, I didn't see
or
that coming
I can
at
have
all.
This mic can hit my face so hard that I bash my skull. As long as I'm past 70 and I've reached like and I'm happy with myself, I'm happy dying a funny way.
I didn't see that coming at all.
Hit me up if you wanna figure out a way to kill me in a funny way. Just hit me up. As long as I'm past 70, we can make that work.
Okay, let's figure this out. All right, eyes open, ears open. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Kill a man.
And that leads us to the fifth question of the Proust questionnaire.
Cool.
And this goes, what is your greatest regret?
Huh. I don't have regrets. Sorry. I don't. Everything that I've made in life, maybe, okay, I have one regret. Mm. I'm not going to say which film school I went to, but instead of there's a point where you have to choose between your ways of going to your ways that you want to be. You want to be a director, you want to be a producer, and you've been to the same school, so you know
different branches.
Yeah, exactly. So I chose directing and production design.
Mm.
Instead of production design, I should have picked cinematography.
Okay.
That's my only regret. If I learned more about cinematography, I would have been much happier. Other than that, I don't like thinking of regrets. I feel like anything in life that I made happened for a reason, and there's a reason why I did it. And it might be a mistake, but I learned from it, and it made me a better person. But yeah, I wasted a bunch of money on that production design course, and I should have done cine.
Well, there's definitely always a reason why we do things or why we feel like doing
something. If you're a production designer, I'm not saying the production design is a bad thing. I'm saying that for me, for what I want to be as a filmmaker and being independent and being able to make my own films, I needed that cinematography knowledge. Mm. I needed the f-stops and all that stuff that I still have trouble figuring it out, ISOs and ASAs and all that stuff. I need to have a separate course on that, and I feel like it was a waste of money.
The great luck is that, you know, now with YouTube and internet, everything is so accessible. Information is also very accessible.
Oh yeah, you know. So I'm just gonna Google it.
Much of that knowledge, yeah. I feel like it's something that you could catch up quickly.
But I also see it as like, who cares? Like, if you're making a movie, and as long as the movie looks right for you and it's what you pictured it, who cares if the f-stop is bad? Who cares if it's too bright, if it's too dark? Like, if it works for you and if you're happy with it, do it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely, of course, an aspect related to the craft of cinematography that is very fascinating, or at least for me personally. Mm-hmm. But the mathematics that go behind light, it's deeply fascinating.
Oh,
you know?
It's amazing, yeah. I want to learn it more for knowing it, because then I can know it, and then I know how to break it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, if you're scared because you don't know your f-stops and you don't know your things, who cares? Mm-hmm. Just go out.
Yeah,
and do
you
it.
Say just instead of looking at it as an obstacle or something that can create friction.
Yeah.
Use it as an advantage and to get someone who knows more about it on your side.
Yeah, just as a thing, just always light it up more because you can edit and tone it down more. It's hard. It's easier to turn down light and make it darker than making something dark bright. That's my only tip out there if you're filming something, because you can easily get noise. And if you want noise in your film, great. But I definitely have a lot of noise in my movies, and I like it. It looks cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a lot, of course, that goes into the aspect of overexposing shots and everything. But, you know, there's a lot of technicality around it, right?
Yeah.
But definitely it's a journey worth going. It's a worthy journey. Yeah. That's for sure.
Oh,
yeah. Super interesting world. The one of cinematography. And now we're about to wrap this whole burrito up.
That's been a whole burrito?
Yeah, it's been a whole burrito, man. All sorts of ingredients in there.
Whoa, got beans?
Yeah,
pinto beans.
Man, we got everything in there. Before we wrap this up, though, I want to ask you, how can people reach you?
All right. Reach me at def13.com. It's defxiii.com. And also on my Instagram, it's Instagram/Bruno.xiii.
Awesome. And then second question to wrap this whole thing up. Mm-hmm. What is your piece of advice to all the filmmakers out there?
Make movies. Make as many movies as you can make. Please be independent. Have a second job. Don't be scared of having a second job.
And awesome.
Yeah.
You want to launch this one too, Bruno?
Absolutely. So this one is from Martinho da Vila, and it's Carta... Canta minha gente, canta, canta minha gente. Thank you, guys.
Canta, canta minha gente, deixa a tristeza pra lá. Canta forte, canta alto, que a vida vai melhorar. Que a vida vai melhorar. Que a vida vai melhorar.
Que a vida vai melhorar. Que a vida vai melhorar.
Cantem o samba de roda, o samba canção e o samba rasgado. Cantem o samba de breque, o samba moderno e o samba quadrado. Cantem ciranda, o frevo, o coco machixe, baião e chachado. Mas não cante essa moça bonita, porque ela está com o marido do lado.
Canta, canta minha gente, deixa a tristeza pra lá.
Vai melhorar.
Que a vida vai melhorar.
Mas a vida vai melhorar.
Que a vida vai melhorar.
Quem canta seus males espanta. Lá em cima do morro, sambando no asfalto. Eu canto samba enredo. O samba é lento e um partido alto. Há muito tempo não ouço o tal do samba sincopado. Só não dá pra cantar mesmo é vendo o sol nascer quadrado.
Discordianism is a religion and subsequent philosophy.
Discordian might seem to be much more forgiving of the normals.
Yeah, the goddess of chaos, or archetypes, or
ideas. It's got a really heavy interest in Discordianism.
Founded after the 1963 publication of its holy book, The Principia Discordia.
Discorder magazine has been Vancouver's longest-running, free, badass, independent magazine, 35 years strong. On Saturday, July 21st, celebrate 401 issues of Discorder magazine with an all-ages party at Red Gate. There will be performances by BB, Francesca Belcourt, Morning Coup, and The New Rituals, guest hosted by Dunkin's Donuts, and featuring a photo booth, giant twister, and more. Tickets are a suggested donation of $10 and doors open at 8. For more information, visit citr.ca or find the event on Facebook.
The BC government now covers medications that could reduce your chances of contracting HIV by 90%. PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis and is a preventative measure that HIV-negative folks can take to reduce their risk of becoming positive. Health Initiative for Men suggests that if you have had sex with a partner with HIV, have had a recent STI, have multiple sexual partners, have a history of inconsistent or no condom use, are currently involved in sex work, or have had repeated courses of post-exposure prophylaxis, then you might want to think about looking into PrEP measures. CATR and Discorder are not medical professionals. Please refer to your doctor for more information.
Are You Aware Radio, alternate Thursday 6 to 7 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. Profiling music and musicians take the route of positive action over apathy.
This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus.
Hello, welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with me today. And you can find me on my YouTube channel.